This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Amen. Who's excited today? I want you to put your hands together for Minister Margaret. She's joining us today to talk about this amazing subject, dealing with your demons. This has been one of my favorite series of the year, and it's just like God just dropped this into our lap, and we've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks, so this is our third week, but I feel like you're so far away. Minister, does anybody feel like you're far away? Let me move your... There we go. Well, thank you. All right, we got... Yeah, I just felt like you were so far away. But we're dealing with this important topic. I think in this month, it's so important to address it too, because the world is talking about it. So why, as we as the church, we need to talk about it too, right? So we know what the Bible says, you know, because we look on the TV screens, they're talking about the paranormal. They're talking about ghosts and goblins and demons, right? But what does the Word of God say? Because if we are reading the Word of God, we should be the best equipped to answer some of these questions and know what we believe. So I'm excited to have Minister Margaret Clark with me. She holds her BA in theology and counseling. She has her master's in social work. She's currently pursuing her PhD. She's done a lot of things in her life. She has worked as a guidance counselor, a mentor, a Sunday school teacher. She's been a conference speaker, a children's choir director, community relations, behavioral management therapy, trauma therapy, and she's authored a number of books. She's co-founder of Marjon Music with her husband, Minister Johnny Clark. And I know your head may be spinning a little bit from her bio, but that's okay. Mine is too. And that's just the Clef Notes. But we're blessed to have her with us. And in October, I mean, what a profound month to be addressing dealing with your demons. And we're talking about the power that Christ gives us to cast out demons, whether that's something in our life, or whether that's in someone around us that we want to see liberated. So, Margaret, why is this so important?
Well, before that, thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Why it's important for us to be discussing. We're living in a society in which the enemy of our soul is not playing game. He is set about to kill, steal, and destroy by any means necessary. Now, the church needs to be equipped to be able to withstand in this evil day and having done everything to remain standing. And so for us to remain standing, we have to equip ourselves and to understand the battle that we're in. We need to understand that the battle is in our mind, yeah, or our precept, what we think, what we dwell on, what enter into our heart gate, what do we allow to fester and to bear and to bring forth fruit that are not pleasing to God. And so we're looking at handling these demons by first identifying them, identifying their nature, so that we'll be able to cast them out.
Amen. Amen. I think a lot of times we're thinking that we're dealing with something in the natural when we're really dealing with something in the spirit. Like, we think that that coworker that we're having all this friction with, and it just seems like it's just constant headbutting, or maybe it's a relationship in our life that it just seems like it just doesn't get right, or maybe it's something physical in our bodies, and we think it's something, we're trying to explain it away in the natural, but the explanation isn't there. As much as we look, oftentimes there's something behind it. Ephesians 6:12, this is what it says: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the Bible lets us know that there are some things that the highest forces that we're battling against are demonic forces. It's not even that lost brother or sister. It's not even that crazy uncle. It's there's stuff that's going on in the spiritual. It's not just that angry boss. It's there's something behind that we have to address. Yes. Right. And so we talked about the battlefield being the mind. And 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments in every high thing," this is good, "that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity and obedience with Christ."
Which is so correct. And if we look at in the book of Genesis as it relates to Cain and Abel, how did murder enter into the world? By a thought. And so we need to realize that whatever we think on, we become. And so if you think on good things, and you will bear good fruits, but if you think on the negative and being downtrodden and woe is me, these allow forces of darkness to not only take control, but to dominate and ruin your life.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful, because we were talking about last week, when we have the wrong emotions in our life and we sustain those wrong emotions, like we sustain anger, the anger in the flesh, anger in the natural, long enough sustained, it opens a door
for
a spirit of anger to enter in. So when we have toxic emotions in our lives, we have to realize that could be an open door. And we started talking about these open doors, and I really felt as I was on this prayer walk, and something that I do every single week, is I'm praying for our body. I'm praying for our people. And so the Holy Spirit will bring different people, and I'm praying for health, or I'm praying for job opportunities or whatever. And clear as day, God just stopped me while I was on my prayer walk, and he said, "There's still open doors."
There's
still open doors. And this is what happens. Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come to give life and life more abundantly, like an overflow of life." But what happens is if we've opened the door to the enemy and the enemy has already taken up space in our life and causing problems in our life, first you have to expel the spirit so that you can have more space for God to work in your life and give you that life and life more abundantly. So last week we started talking about open doors, and there are so many open doors, I think, that our culture doesn't really realize that the devil has whitewashed it. Right. It's like he's this great marketer that has rebranded. We say, okay, that's something that's wrong. That's something that's evil. That's something that's wicked. And then he takes it back and he rebrands it and he tries to sell it to us again under a different name, under a different label. It's like pharmaceutical companies.
Right.
They do something, they create something, it hurts a bunch of people. There's a backlash. And then what happens? Basically, they change like one little thing and then they reintroduce it back and they call it something completely different. The enemy does that to the church, and the enemy does that to people in general all the time. As soon as we think we have a finger on the pulse of something that's being done, this is wicked, we know this is wrong, well then there's a repackaging. And there's so many things I believe that have been repackaged in our society, and I'll just name a couple that are just straight from the demonic realm, but many of these have been whitewashed and others have just infiltrated our society. Palm readers, fortune tellers, mediums, horoscopes, signs. You know, I cringe when I hear Christians say, "This is my sign," or "What's your sign?" Let me tell you something. As a believer, you only need one sign. That's the cross. The power of the cross. The blood of the Lamb. You know, I don't need any other identifiers. Because, you see, when you're identifying with a sign, you're identifying with a secular prophecy over your life. You see, I'm not a Taurus. I may be born in May, but I'm not a Taurus. I'm a child of God. And that's the only identifier that I need. I don't feel like I have a need for anything else. And so it's important for us to look to God for what our purpose and our identity is. This is what the Word of God says in Jeremiah 10:2. It says, this is what the Lord says, "Do not act like the other nations who try to read their future in the stars." I hope you hear that, man, because there's so much stuff that the culture tries to put on us, and we we're doing it because somebody else did it. We don't realize that what it really is, it's opening a door. Yeah. Fairies, witches, warlocks, sorcerers, enchanters. We watch a bunch of movies with this stuff in it. And how many people have ever been, you've been in your living room and you turn on a church service, or you turn on this worship, one of your favorite worshipers, you could just feel the presence of God coming off the TV screen, right? You could feel it. But how many times do we watch movies and there's somebody doing a seance in a certain part of the movie? We don't stop the movie and start praying to rebuke that. We just let that thing come into our living room. You know, it's important that we understand what opens doors.
Right. And even with the prodigal son, the one that remained at home, when his brother returned, you thought he would be happy. So what happened now, the spirit of anger entered in. And with it, it comes jealousy. It comes envy. It was disrespectful to the father. And so we have to understand that sometimes these forces, they are subtle in the way they enter in. And we have to understand that bitterness is linked to a substance. Bitterness is linked to a disease. And envy rottens the bone. And so if we do not understand that they come in this subtle way, we're going to be defeated. And so, yep, they're on the TV, but we have to check the condition of the heart. And so with the prodigal son's brother, his heart condition was an open door for all these other forces to manifest themselves, where he, you know, start having even a pity party, start getting angry, start having all evil thought. Because he allowed these doors to open. So we see, as Pastor Joshua mentioned, some of these things that we use as an open door. And I remember this little boy was 1.5 years old. And this is, I just came to this country. And when I pass and I see signs with psychic, I was like, wow, I didn't know this could, you know, it's possible. Because where I'm from is a no-no. And so I was like, wow. But one particular Sunday, he said, uncle is coming. And I looked outside and there was no uncle. And within 2 seconds, the uncle came. So I said to the mom, how is that possible? Tell me what's going on. And she said when she was pregnant, she went to the psychic. Wow. To find out what this child is going to become. Not knowing, she opened a door from the womb to attack the unborn child. So we have to be careful of curiosity. We have to be careful of being fascinated with things God did not call you to. Because we open doors that is going to take a deliverance person and the grace of God to deliver you. So we have to be careful of these things. And you're going to talk about yoga.
You came right back to that same scripture that I was saying a little earlier in 2 Corinthians 10, which is, you know, casting down every argument, every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Sometimes we have those imaginations, those curiosities that need to be brought into captivity, and those things. So we're talking about open doors, things that have infiltrated our culture, enchanters, sages, voodoo priests, santeros, medicine men and women, yoga. Yeah. You know, man, for those that don't know, yoga is a religion. And some people think, you could think you're just getting your sweat on, and somebody beside you is having a religious experience. Maybe the instructor doesn't see it exactly the same way that you're seeing. And so you can actually be opening yourself up to things like that. So to many, it's actually much more than just an exercise, unlocking chakras, praying to angels, praying to saints. Look in the Word of God. Any prophet or believer that ever tried to worship or pray to an angel or a man was redirected back to God. Look back all through the Bible. All the glory, all the honor belongs to Jesus. There's no need to worship, to pray to ask any help from anybody else. Jesus is the one. Look at your prophetic books. All the prophets that they get taken in a vision to heaven. It's all they're so awed by the angel. They fall down to worship the angel. The angel say, "Get back up. I'm just somebody like you." Praise God. So we have to be careful of these. We open up doors. New Age, grounding, crystals, black magic, white magic. Nearly every parents. Nearly every Disney movie teaches kids about white or black magic. Yep. Turn on Disney TV. Yes. You will see magic, black or white magic. And some, be very careful. You are programming your child's future challenges or success. Yes. If you open a door in their life, they'll have to get free and delivered.
Yes.
Either you're going to have to help them or they're going to have to get themselves delivered at one point.
Right.
Because it's these are doors. Amulets, idols, good luck charms, superstition, wishing wells, wishing upon a star. Who are you wishing to? Do we stop and ask that question? You have to be wishing somebody, wishing upon a star, wishing well, because if it's God, just ask God. You know? We know his name, Jesus. Just ask him, Jesus. Is there a way this could happen? Jesus, I would really like for that. Just have a little talk with Jesus.
Yep.
You know, it's okay to ask Jesus if you want something. He's going to tell you if that's all right for you. Mediums, channeling. You hear a lot of actors doing this nowadays. And it's so bad. It's opening up doors for them and also people that watch the movies. They're doing a biography movie, and so they try to channel some spirit of somebody that's dead.
Right.
No, it's an open door. Summoning the dead, and Leviticus 19:31 says, do not defile yourself by turning to mediums. You can call it whatever you want, psychics, mediums, fortune tellers. Do not defile yourself by turning to mediums or those who consult spirits of the dead. I am the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. So we don't bring this up to frighten anybody, but it's to open our eyes because the enemy is not pulling punches. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. We have to, if we want to succeed, we have to stand in the authority of Christ. And if you stand in the authority of Christ and you slam the door shut on the enemy, let me tell you something. You have more than enough authority to kick every demon out of your life, every demon out of your finances, every demon out of your family, every demon out of your marriage, every demon off of the delay, out of bringing the spouse into your life. You're going to have the authority that you need.
And Jesus is the only authority.
The
only authority. And sometimes we find we get bound by our culture. Yeah, the culture dictate that we take the child or the person to see a specialist to get certain things done because they said God cannot do it. But let me tell you something, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because there is no other power and authority except Jesus Christ. And so we have to be careful of our culture. How much are we entrenched in our culture that we fail to see the word of God come alive because we are bound by our culture? So we need to you know, be aware of that also.
As believers, we have to have discernment.
Yes.
You know, one of the first marks that you're growing in God is discernment. You know, and the more that you grow in God, the sharper your discernment will be. And these are two incredible tools that you have about slamming the door shut on the devil, slamming the doors shut that might have been opened by different things. Number one is knowledge of the Word of God.
Yes.
Get in the Word, stay in the Word, know what the Word of God says. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice,
that's
and
right.
Every other voice is a stranger, right?
Yeah.
When we know his voice, we know what the counterfeit sounds like.
Yes, exactly.
Number two, discernment.
Yeah.
Knowledge, discernment. When we have discernment, because let me tell you something, we could come out with an extensive list today and list out 300 different things that are open doors.
Yes.
And you know what? Devil come up with something new next week.
Yes.
You have to exercise discernment.
Yes.
And thank God it's one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. It says in 1 Corinthians that he gives us the gift of the discerning of spirits. So you know, what type of spirit is this? Does this person have a spirit? Does this person have a, you know, what is their spirit like, right? Are they good? Is there a spirit on them? We have the discerning of spirits.
Yeah, and in discerning the spirit, what you need to understand is that the force of darkness does nothing new. It's the same old trick from the beginning of time. And so he traps us because of our ignorance. What we need to understand is that, understand their nature. And as we look at the prodigal brother, the nature is bitterness, anger, jealousy. So as Pastor Joshua mentioned about coming with different brand and rebranding themselves, you know, I have a client that she doesn't call it demon, nor does she say she has multiple personality, because the demon now tells her, this is the new brand, I'm a character. So we have to be aware that even though they may come with different rebranding, their nature remains the same. Same nature, envy, bitterness, murder, jealousy, pornography, they are all the same in nature. And when Jesus met the man with the 5,000 demons, there were so many, they said, Jesus is 5,000, should we name them all? Because there's so many of us that is within this one person. That one person. And so what did that person did? What door did that person open to allow so many to enter in? Touch not unless God allows you and tell you to go about touching and laying hand on people. We have to be careful because we don't know what they possess. And so we have to be aware and discern what spirit we're driving out. And we also have to be careful, as Pastor Josh had asked in the first service, how do you know who to be delivered? The person who wants it. The person who is desperate for God. God looks for desperate people who search with all their heart. And when you search with all your heart, you will find him and you will find rest. You'll get peace.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, I love that. Because we were talking last service about the fact that you're a professional therapist, and when is the difference between knowing when to talk to somebody and counsel somebody and when to cast out a spirit? And so you were saying that when the person's ready. And I thought that was so great. Yeah. When the person's ready.
Yeah, because the thing about it is you're having a deliverance service, for example, and that person doesn't want to be delivered. And somehow, because of the power in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. So that person, even though they didn't want to be delivered, because of the authority and the power that God has given you, they have to leave. But that person is going to be worse because they did not want their pet demons to be released. Because demons, they like to showcase. They like to be seen. And so they prefer to remain so that they can put themselves on display. And sometimes they throw themselves on the ground because what? Everybody's going to come crowd around them. So they get all the attention that they want. So we have to be able to discern. We have to understand their nature. And we drive them out by their nature, by the power in the name of Jesus.
So good. So good. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12 says, for example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. And do not let people... See how this is, couples this right with us, sacrificing your son or daughter. It says, and do not let your people practice fortune-telling. You know, see, this is the thing with our culture. That the culture often, the devil will infiltrate the culture, and then, you know, now we don't see fortune-telling or psychics or whatever. We don't see it as that. God puts it right here in the next line, right after sacrificing a son or daughter as a burnt offering. He says, don't let your people practice fortune telling, use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums, or psychics, or call forth spirits of the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. So that's what the people were doing in the promised land before they got driven out. That's why God said the Israelites, drive them out, drive them out. And so what happens is we miss out on our purpose. We miss out on our blessing when we have open doors in our lives. We miss out on our healing. We miss out on the promises that are in the Bible. Sometimes we're asking, why are these promises that are in the Bible not a reality in my life? Open doors. oftentimes there's spirits that are occupying the space that God wants to put the blessing and his Holy Spirit in your life. So some scriptures are more severe than others. Some scripture says, get them out, drive them out of the land. Others say, put them to death. But what does that mean for us right now in our culture? You know, because of course we're not going around, you know, trying to, you know, go to the, bust down the doors of the psychic shop. But I, what that says to me is that we need to kill the practices in our lives that open doors. We need to drive out all of the old habits, all of the things that leave places for the demonic to operate in our life. And don't let open doors exist that spirits can walk in and cause interference in our spiritual walk. Slam them shut. That's what we need to do. So here's the question, though. What has happened if we either knowingly or unknowingly have opened doors? What do we do now?
The first thing we have to do is repent. God calls us onto repentance. And when Jesus was on earth, he preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The same gospel today, we have to repent. For the remission
and that's
of your
what
sin.
He started. That's what he started his ministry
that's
with.
Right.
Before he got into these concepts of the kingdom of God, first he picked up where John left off and
that's
said,
right.
"Repent."
Right, exactly.
For the kingdom of God is here. It's near. The kingdom of God is near, but you can't have the kingdom unless you first repent.
Repent, right? And so we have to repent. We have to repent. We have to look back in our life to see what doors we have opened. And, you know, a lot of times we look at big sin, but I tend to look at little sin because that's the area I may fall in. And so I look at, God, what is in me that need to get out? Because if it's not of you, I don't want it. Because what happened, it brings other inside. So demons, they don't travel single file. They're not lone rangers. They travel in bulk. And they travel in groups. And so when we decide to get rid of, we have to make sure that our temple, which is where the Holy Spirit dwells, is totally clean. Clean us, so that we can be free.
Amen. What would you say is the greatest spiritual attack that you see on the people of God today?
Okay, the greatest spiritual attack is ignorance. Ignorance. Amen. Ignorance in all walk of life. Ignorance. Because if you don't know what is attacking you, you don't know how to pray.
Yeah.
Ignorance. If you don't know the word of God, you don't know how to stand.
Yeah.
And having done all, to remain standing. That's the most important thing, to remain standing. So once we know the word of God and understand that God has given us the power and authority to drive out serpents and scorpions, and by no means will they harm us, then we will have victory. But we have to understand that we have to get into the word of God. It's not just for Hosea. It's for us today. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. So we have to spend time learning, understanding God's word. We have to spend time reading the word of God. We have to spend time listening to him. Sometimes we don't listen. We just talk. And want. We become a siren. Want this, want that. Yeah, but we have to remember that we have to stop. We have to listen. We need to hear from him. And if we don't hear from him, how are we going to defeat something that we don't understand is happening or attacking us?
Yeah. Amen. You know, I thought about the scripture, Revelation 12:1, which says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And I thought about these two incredible concepts that we have to defeat the enemy in our lives. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Man, the power, the redemptive power, the regenerative power of Jesus Christ. That no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how much we've messed up, no matter how many doors we've opened in our life, there is in the power of the cross the power to be regenerated. There's the power to be forgiven and the power to kick anything out of our lives. Number one, the blood of the Lamb. Number two, the word of our testimony. Man, when I see what I want coming out of my mouth, I want it to be a declaration. I want it to be, God, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. I want it to be, I'm renouncing this. I'm disconnecting myself. I know I may have affiliated myself with this, with this wickedness or this bad thing, or open this door. I renounce that. I repent and I renounce. That's my testimony.
Right.
And what I'm going to speak out of my mouth to allow, the Bible says, what you allow on earth will be allowed in heaven. What you disallow on, so with my testimony, what am I allowing in my life? What am I disallowing in my life? So the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And I just want us as believers to be effective.
Right.
I want us to understand effective warfare. Not, you know, because sometimes we can run around, we can do a lot of things, but we're not getting the breakthrough.
Right.
You know, we have to be effective in the warfare.
Right, we have to be effective, because after we repent of our sins and we go through the process of deliverance, what we need to remember is that we're driving out something. And in driving out something, there's a space, huh?
Yeah.
So what we have to do now is ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Fill us up. Some of us today need to be refilled.
Yeah.
Some of us today need a filling. Some of us need to drive out all these things that we've been harboring in our hearts, causing us to be sick. Where we've been to the doctors and they can't find what is the problem, because it is spiritual. You cannot use medication to fight a spiritual battle. And so we need to realize that once God has delivered us, we need His Holy Spirit to fill us up, so that He not only does He overflow, but whatever we say, whatever we do, He will be glorified. He will alone be glorified. And what God has said to us is that He wants all of you. He doesn't want a part-time love thing. He wants all of you. He wants you to lay down all the idols you have in your life. Whatever the idols may be, He wants you to get rid of the idols so that He will have dominion. He will reign. He'll be the king of your life. And that is what He wants of you today. So as you go through the process of being delivered, God, I surrender everything to You. And I need You to refill me. I need more of You. What I had yesterday is not enough for today, because today's new devil's rising up, huh? Today is new forces that we have to face. And yesterday's anointing cannot do for today, because we need a refreshing every day. So before you leave today, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I need more of You. Yesterday was good enough, but today I need a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, a refilling of Your word. Amen.
Amen. Can we stand today? I just want to, we can bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe you're saying, Pastor, that's exactly where I am today. I feel like I've been trying to shake loose, break loose of some things in my life, and I just need a little bit of extra agreement. I need for somebody to just pray with me. I'm praying already, but I need somebody to pray with me, because I want to experience that breakthrough. I want to experience true freedom. If that's you, we're going to open up the altars right now. You can come down here. We would love to pray with you. And I believe God, this is a time that God really wants to set people free. He always wants to set people free, but there's some just kind of set apart times when God is doing something special. And God really is designated this time to say, I want to set my people free. So if that's you, as we sing the song, you can come down. Minister Margaret and some of the prayer team, we're going to pray. And I believe God is going to do something incredible in your life.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yeah. I give myself away. Come on, let's just sing this as we prepare our hearts today.
I give myself away.
Yeah.
Before we go into prayer, I need you to make this declaration with me. I am God's daughter. Remember, if you're a man, you cannot say you're a daughter, or else I'm going to have to check something. All right, I'm God's daughter.
I'm God's son.
I am man's servant.
I am man's servant.
I'm the devil's master.
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 Come on, say it as if you believe it. I'm the devil's master.
I'm the devil's master.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you just lift up your hands, we're going to pray. Pastor Pete, you can come and help us pray. Yeah, if you're out there, just stretch your hands up. Lift your hands up. If you're in the audience, you can just lift your hands forward. Just agree for your brothers and sisters. We're believing for complete and total freedom. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not God's desire or design for people to be inhibited, held back, oppressed in any way, form, or fashion. God wants to set His people free. Come on, God is pronouncing freedom in this place. God is pronouncing freedom in this place. God is pronouncing freedom in this place. Come on, just reach up and grab what belongs to you. It's the freedom through Jesus Christ. It's the freedom through His Son. It's the freedom through the power of the cross. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are liberated. Every chain is coming off of your life today. Every limitation, everything that's tried to govern your success and tried to limit what God is doing, we bind it up in the name of Jesus. We speak release. We speak release of everyone held captive in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your freedom reign in this place. Let your freedom reign in our lives. Let your freedom reign, God, in every believer's heart here today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We come against any backlash of the enemy. We come against any type of retribution the enemy would try to jump back on or try to grab other spirits and come. We bind that in the name of Jesus. We break every attack of the enemy. We break every chain. We break every repercussion. We put the blood of Jesus on every member, on every family member, on every child, every man, woman, boy, and girl, every marriage, every family in the name of Jesus. Now,
hallelujah.
Minister Margaret talked about filling up the voids.
Yes.
Filling up the voids. We don't want to come out of here with our cup empty.
Yes.
Of all the bad stuff. That's good, but we want to also be filled with the Spirit. Yes. So that there's no vacancies. When the devil comes up to our hotel, guess what? No vacancies. No vacancies. Yes. Look at somebody, say no vacancies. No vacancies. Maybe you're saying, I need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. I need to, maybe it's the first time, or maybe it's just, I need to be refilled. I need a fresh touch of the Spirit. Just raise your hand where you are right now. Raise your hand where you are right now. Minister Margaret's about to pray, and the Holy Spirit is going to fill you,
hallelujah,
either for the first time or
hallelujah,
for the second time,
Jesus.
Or there's just voids in your life. You say, Holy Spirit, I know some stuff just left out of my life,
hallelujah,
and I want that void to be filled with you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we glorify your name. As on the day of Pentecost, when the disciples were gathered together, Lord God, you came down like a mighty rushing wind. Father God, even now we pray that you will fill our cups right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Fill us up, Father God. Fill us up, oh God, with your power, with the anointing, with the word that go forth with fire and do marvelous thing in thy sight. Father God, we glorify your name even now because, God, you are the God of all things. And so, God, fill us up. Fill us up to overflow in the name of Jesus. And Father, we come against every backlash, Father God. Every person who's going to leave this place, Father God, the gates of hell will not prevail against them because they are going to rise up to do wonders for you in the name of Jesus. Father God, whatever the enemy is set in order, Lord, we reverse it right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We reverse it in the name of Jesus. We reverse it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. And we just seal this in the name of Jesus. We seal this time in the name of Jesus that, God, we would not lose what you've given us today. When we go out of this place today, Lord, we go out with authority and we go out with power. I thank you, Father. Lord, that you stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit that's inside of us, that our discernment is sharp, that your power is available, and it's on quick release in our life. It's on quick release. Father, thank you. You've put the authority in our mouth to speak, and the devil has to go running. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.